Achille never ceased to be astonished at how the universe bent to his will. Whatever he wished seemed to come to him. Poke and her crew raising him above the other bullies, Sister Carlotta bringing him to the priest's school in Brussels, Dr. Delamar straightening his leg so he could run, so he looked no different from any other boy his age. And now, here he was in battle school, and who should be his first commander but little Bean, ready to take him under his wing, help him rise within this school. As if the universe were created to serve him, with all the people in it tuned to resonate with his desires. The battle room was cool beyond belief. War in a box. Point the gun, the other kid's suit freezes. Of course, Ambul had made the mistake of demonstrating this by freezing Achille and then laughing at his consternation at floating in the air, unable to move, unable to change the direction of his drift. People shouldn't do that. It was wrong, and it always gnawed at Achille until he was able to set things right. There should be more kindness and respect in the world. Like Bean. It looked so promising at first, but then Bean started putting him down, making sure the others saw that Achille used to be Bean's papa, but now he was just a soldier in Bean's army. There was no need for that. You don't go putting people down. Bean had changed. Back when Poke first put Achille on his back, shaming him in front of all those little children, it was Bean who showed him respect. "Kill him," Bean had said. He knew then, that tiny boy, he knew that even on his back, Achille was dangerous. But he seemed to have forgotten that now. In fact, Achille was pretty sure that Bean must have told Ambul to freeze his flash suit and humiliate him in the practice room, setting him up for the others to laugh at him. "I was your friend and protector, Bean, because you showed respect for me. But now I have to weigh that in the balance with your behavior here in battle school. No respect for me at all." The trouble was, the students in battle school were given nothing that could be used as a weapon, and everything was made completely safe. No one was ever alone, either, except the commanders, alone in their quarters. That was promising. But Achille suspected that the teachers had a way of tracking where every student was at any given time. He'd have to learn the system, learn how to evade it, before he could start setting things to rights. But he knew this. He'd learn what he needed to learn. Opportunities would appear, and he, being Achille, would see those opportunities and seize them. Nothing could interrupt his rise until he held all the power there was to hold within his hands. Then there would be perfect justice in the world. Not this miserable system that left so many children starving and ignorant and crippled on the streets, while others lived in privilege and safety and health. All those adults who had run things for thousands of years were fools or failures, but the universe obeyed Achille. He and he alone could correct the abuses. On his third day in battle school, Rabbit Army had its first battle with Bean as commander. They lost. They would not have lost if Achille had been commander. Bean was doing some stupid, touchy-feely thing, leaving things up to the Toon Leaders. But it was obvious that the Toon Leaders had been badly chosen by Bean's predecessor. If Bean was to win, he needed to take tighter control. When he tried to suggest this to Bean, the child only smiled knowingly, a maddeningly superior smile, and told him that the key to victory was for each Toon Leader, and eventually each soldier, to see the whole situation and act independently to bring about victory. It made Achille want to slap him. It was so stupid, so wrong-headed. The one who knew how to order things did not leave it up to others to create their little messes in the corners of the world. He took the reins and pulled, sharp and hard. He whipped his men into obedience. As Frederick the Great said, "The soldier must fear his officers more than he fears the bullets of the enemy." You could not rule without the naked exercise of power. The followers must bow their heads to the leader. They must surrender their heads, using only the mind and will of the leader to rule them. No one but Ashiel seemed to understand that this was the great strength of the buggers. They had no individual minds, only the mind of the hive. They submitted perfectly to the queen. We cannot defeat the buggers until we learn from them, become like them. But there was no point in explaining this to Bean. He would not listen. Therefore, he would never make Rabbit Army into a hive. He was working to create chaos. It was unbearable. Unbearable. Yet, just when Ashiel thought he couldn't bear the stupidity and waste any longer, Bean called him to his quarters. Ashiel was startled when he entered to find that Bean had removed the vent cover and part of the wall panel, giving him access to the air duct system. This was not at all what Ashiel had expected. "Take your clothes off," said Bean. Ashiel smelled an attempt at humiliation. Bean was taking off his own uniform. "They track us through the uniforms," said Bean. "If you aren't wearing one, they don't know where you are, except the gym and the battle room, where they have really expensive equipment to track each warm body. We aren't going to either of those places, so strip." Bean was naked. As long as Bean went first, Ashiel could not be shamed by doing the same. "Ender and I used to do this," said Bean. "Everybody thought Ender was such a brilliant commander, but the truth is he knew all the plans of the other commanders because we'd go spying through the air ducts. And not just the commanders, either. We found out what the teachers were planning. We always knew it in advance. Not hard to win that way." Ashiel laughed. This was too cool. Bean might be a fool, but this Ender that Ashiel had heard so much about, he knew what he was doing. "It takes two people, is that it?" "To get where I can spy on the teachers, there's a wide shaft, pitch black. I can't climb down. I need somebody to lower me down and haul me back up. I didn't know who in Rabbit Army I could trust, and then there you were, a friend from the old days." It was happening again. The universe bending to his will. He and Bean would be alone. No one would be tracking where they were. No one would know what had happened.